Welcome to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Each weekday, Dr. Crisp will be discussing biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Tune in daily to start your day right and deepen your understanding of how to better walk the way and enjoy the journey. Here's your host, Dr. Tony Crisp.
Welcome to On the Way. This is Tony Crisp, and this is Podcast 1084. Today, we're going to look at the book of Philemon. I know, as far as the order of the New Testament, it is not next in line, but it should be tied with the book of Colossae. Why? Because it was written to a man who lived in Colossae. No doubt, the church at Colossae had started in his home. And we're going to go through the book and see the highlights of it. It's just one chapter, but it is a fascinating book and one of my all-time favorites. Now, I can see why those who put the order of the books together, where you have 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and then Philemon, that you had people that were being written to that were individuals. But the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are pastoral epistles. Those were letters to Paul's mentees, those that had interned under him, those who were his proteges, especially Timothy. But Titus was one of the faithful young men that studied at the feet of the Apostle Paul. And so Paul wrote these pastoral epistles. And yes, they're personal in nature, but they're pastoral primarily to tell about how they were to conduct themselves in the Church of Jesus Christ and in the local assembly. However, Philemon was written to a man who was a wealthy man, no doubt. He was a benefactor of the Apostle Paul. He supported Paul's ministry. Paul, no doubt, led him to Christ because the terminology that you read about in Philemon speaks of that very thing. Paul would have written this while he was in prison, 60-62, at the same time that he wrote the book of Ephesians, that he wrote Philippians, and he wrote Colossians. And so I want to just get right into the book and help you to see what it is. I mean, we can read that. And so what I'm going to do is just kind of give you an overview. Paul identifies himself in verse 1 as a prisoner. He was with Timothy, and he was writing to Philemon. He was someone that he considered a fellow laborer. Apphia, I believe, was the wife of all I can read, and the way that Paul would have written this as a rabbi, he would have greeted his household, those in his house. Apphia, I believe, was his wife. Archippus was more than likely the son of Philemon. And since Paul identified him as a fellow soldier, then more than likely he was the pastor of the church that was in the house of Philemon. And of course, you have the opening greetings. And then he immediately talks about how much he loves Philemon and how much he praises God for him and the joy that he had been to him and the encouragement he had been to him. Look, for instance, in verse 7, "For we have great joy and encouragement." Consolation is translated in many versions, but it's encouragement. "You've encouraged us. You cause the hearts of the saints to be refreshed." That is a... oh, my goodness. May God say that about every one of us, that we refresh the saints. The house of Onesiphorus was pointed out as one who often refreshed the saints. This is the idea of giving life to them, of watering a plant that's wilted. May God help us not to cut down plants, but to water them when they're suffering, when they're wilting. And this is the heart of God. When there's brokenness, God wants to heal it. God brings us to those points so he can heal us, so that we'll listen to him. And then he gets to the heart of the letter in verse 8. He says, "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting." In other words, Paul said, what I'm about to ask of you, Philemon, I could just command you to do it, but I want to appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged. He said, I'm looking at this as a father, one who has lived most of his life, one who is in the closing days, one who is going to be taking his armor off soon, not putting it on. Let me just say a word to you who are younger. I would watch about telling those who have fought the battle and taking off their armor, and in the process of doing that, help them take that off with dignity instead of criticizing them, until you, just now putting on your armor, have fought the battles that they have, and you've walked in their battle shoes, and then you can, when you're taking off your armor, if you choose to criticize those that are, then do that. We have to be very careful about that when we're younger, and I'm not talking down to any of you who are younger. I'm saying this as one who has been in ministry almost 50 years. And April the 2nd, actually, of this year will be my 49th year in ministry. And I pray God will let me live to see 50 and beyond. But he says, I appeal to you as a man who is a prisoner of Christ, who is a prisoner of Rome, who has fought the battle in the heat of the day. I have borne up under that. And I want to appeal to you about a man named Onesimus. Now, Onesimus in the Greek text, Onesis, is the word for prophet or someone who is profitable. Onesimus means one who is useful or profitable. He said, whom I've begotten in my chains. In other words, Paul led him to faith in Christ while he was in chains, who once was unprofitable to you, that is, this person that once was your slave and he ran away from you and became unprofitable, now he is profitable to you. And that's the word there. It's actually a different word than what Onesimus is, which is a different word altogether. He said, I'm sending him back to you, therefore receive him, that is my own heart. He said, I want you to receive him just like you would receive me, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing. What a gentleman and what a gentlemanly way for Paul to approach this man that he led to Christ that owed him his very life and his spiritual life. He said, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing that your good deed might not be by compulsion, but as it were, but voluntarily. He said, listen, I wanted to allow you to get in on this blessing. Now, I'm telling you, what great wisdom he had. He said, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose. In other words, God's worked all this out. God's sovereign. Philemon, you know that we want to see people saved. We want to see people born again. And he's been born again so that he's departed from you. So now you can receive him forever, no longer as a doulos, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? He said, now, he's your brother. He's come out of your household. He ran away from you. You know, when a slave ran away and he was caught, they would many times tattoo on his head three letters, F-U-G. That's the way you would say it in our language, F-U-G. That's short for fugitive. One who is a runaway, one who is on the run, one who is trying to evade responsibility of the law, what was lawful. And who knows, but Onesimus had that tattooed on his forehead. I mean, after all, Paul met him in prison, so evidently he had been captured already. But he said, if then you count me as a koinonia, that's the root word. It's the word koinonon. It's a partner. It's one who has joint fellowship. Receive him as you would me. Now, it's interesting. If you just read that and you look at the verse in English, it's translated, and you would is in italics. That means it's not in the original text. That was put in there, those two words, to help it make sense to the English, smooth English, and make sense to us. And so, if you just read that, he said, if then you would count me as a partner, receive him as me. Now, that's what the Greek text says, as me, like you would me. That's the word, as like. So he said, would you receive me? If you would receive me, receive him just like you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. This is fascinating. He said, I am writing this with my own hand. In other words, I am personally standing up for him. And then he says that you would, and then he uses a word that refers to paying the penalty. That's right, to paying the penalty. It is apo, and then the word tino. You put those two together, and it means I will take care, I will take away the penalty. In other words, you put it on me. Whatever he owes you, I'll pay. Whatever is his charge, put it on my account. Who does that sound like? Paul is being like Jesus. He's saying, look, he owes this to you. Yes, there is a penalty. He is guilty. He ran away. He has broken the law. But if you understand, Philemon, what I'm saying, put that on my account. I will pay his penalty. If he owes you anything, any money, I will see that you're paid. I'm writing this promise with my own hand. This is what the Lord Jesus did for us. You see, Philemon is a story of a runaway slave, and what was meant for evil, God's turned around for good. The one that left is now going to come back, not as a slave that is being returned, but as a brother, one that you need to treat differently and look at differently than you did before. And he said, look, if anything is owed, I'll pay it. No, it's not. I'm not the one that is guilty. I'm not the one that owes this, but you see, with my own hand, I'm telling you, I will pay this. This is what Jesus did. This is the great story of substitution, of penal atonement. This is the great story of God's love for us and God's compassion for us. He understands that the debt needs to be paid, but he says, I'll pay it because this is how much I care for you. So he says, but now I'm not going to mention that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Now, this is like God saying, I'm going to do this for you, but you owe me everything. And so I'm going to ask you to forgive this brother, and you just charge it to me if there's anything there. You see, after we're saved, God says, I want you to forgive. I want you to forgive. I want you to move on. And we act like, well, but he owes me. Well, what do we owe the Lord Jesus? If it weren't for him, we would be in hell. If it weren't for him, we'd be separated for eternity. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't have peace, joy, kindness. We wouldn't have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. No, these are critical truths to understand. He says, I have confidence in your obedience. Boy, I'm telling you, that just makes a man when you say, I believe in you and I believe that this is what you're going to do because of the character I know. That'll make a man want to swim a river that can't even swim. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. He said, listen, I have confidence in your obedience. I'm writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I'll be granted to you. Now, this is a brother to a brother saying, I know you. I love you. You love me. Do this for me. Now, this is the story of God all the way through the scriptures. How many times did you read in the scriptures as we've come this far and in the 365 Bible reading plan that I shared passages with you that God said, I'm not doing this, Israel, for your sake. I'm doing this for Abraham's sake. I'm not doing this because of what I promised you. I'm doing this because of what I promised Abraham. You had nothing to do with my goodness toward you. I'm doing this because of another. How many times did he say that after David, to Solomon, to his genealogy after him, to his descendants? He said, I'm saving you. I'm acting in kindness toward you, not because of you, but because of your father, David. You see, God the Father acts toward us, not because of our goodness. God blesses us, not because of our deeds. God blesses us and doesn't pour out his wrath upon us, not because of us, but because of Jesus. May his name be praised forever. That's the book of Philemon in just a snapshot. For On the Way, this is Tony Crisp.
Thanks for listening to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Tune in every weekday for information on biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Fridays are for your questions. Email your questions to questions@tonycrisp.org, then just listen for your question to be answered on Friday's podcast. That's questions@tonycrisp.org. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day on the way.